This evening, I'd like to go back to Proverbs chapter 11. Somebody left a pair of glasses on one of the pews on this side at one of the Sunday services. I don't know which service. I think it was after the 11 o'clock, so it could have been 8:30. It could have been Sunday school. But if they happen to be yours, come and get them. Proverbs chapter 11, please. Let me move a few things. Last spring, I guess, we started going through some of the things in the book of Proverbs, and when I left here, I had taught some lessons on child discipline, and I left off there. There were several of them, like three or four, maybe five, I don't remember how many for sure. Tonight, and we're going to pick up a few more of the topics or the subjects that are in Proverbs, not that many really, but I'd like to pick up a few kind of where we left off last summer, or last spring, whenever it was. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, and I'm going to read a half a dozen or so verses here. One here, and then a bunch of, anyway, just follow along, how's that? Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now let me say, it says where no counsel is, the people fall. I do know pastors that don't counsel. In fact, there's a pastor in our pastor's fellowship. I just preached for him, actually, a couple weeks ago out by Palmyra. And he doesn't counsel people. He figures he does all of his counseling from the pulpit. Sometimes that's true, and sometimes that's, to be honest, that's not true all the time. So sometimes we have to go find counsel. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Chapter 19 and verse 20. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Chapter 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Chapter 21 and verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. We never stop getting knowledge. Chapter 22 and verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and in knowledge? And then chapter 24 and verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And lastly, 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So Proverbs says in chapter 12 and verse 15, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. What happens is, and probably next week we'll do the contrast and we'll talk about the fool. The fool doesn't think he needs counsel. And when he does seek it, he commonly seeks it somebody who is as foolish as himself. There are people that will ask you for your opinion. They already have a preconceived idea. That's true for all of us, in all honesty. But they'll say, okay, maybe I can find someone to agree with this. So they'll ask somebody that doesn't agree and someone that doesn't agree, and finally they'll find somebody that does agree, and they'll say, oh, yeah, that's what I thought. And they'll stick with that one. Now, let me say this. When I have a major decision to make, I call pastors, and I ask for biblical advice. I have some pastors that I call consistently. I have a couple of evangelists that I talk to, and if I happen to be talking to them or think about, there's two missionaries as well that I talk to for advice. What I said earlier, I try to keep a teachable mind because I might be wrong. So I try to keep a teachable mind, and I call several, and let me say this, I go with the majority, which is usually heavily one-sided. So let's say I talk to 10 pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and 8 of them say this, and 1 or 2 say something else, almost exclusively, I go with the 8 or 10 or whatever it is. I always do. Now, nobody always agrees on everything all the time. But I will always stick with these godly men, and you know a lot of them. You know Brother Overton. All of you, I think, know Brother Stiles. Brother Fielder is an evangelist that I call. Some of the other pastors, Brother Dunbar, Brother Smith in Syracuse, you might know him at Buckley Road Baptist Church. These are all different pastors I call all the time for advice when I have a major decision. I remember one time we had a situation going on in our church. None of you probably knew about it at the time. A lot of you weren't even here at the time. So I was like, what I should do here? So Brother Cole had an older pastor friend that was retired at the time, so I called him. And he said this. I gave him the situation. He said, well, this is what I do, preacher. Every time I always assume that the people in my church can do no wrong. And I try to assume that too, believe it or not. I try to think that you guys can do no wrong. However, I said to him this. I said, but both the people are in my church. And this was his advice. You have a problem. I'm thinking, yeah, I know that. That's why I'm calling you. I have a problem. Sometimes even the godliest of men have a hard time in certain circumstances and situations always giving definitive godly advice. And I will tell you something throughout life. You can have a situation brought up that might be similar to another situation, but the scenario in the background of it might be different. And you have to weigh every case with a little bit of wisdom and understanding, with the facts, who said one time, I hate the confusion with the facts, but we try to get the facts. So it can be difficult. But beyond that, I try to keep a teachable mind, because as I said earlier, we don't know everything and we're always learning. And I know I can be wrong. And I know that if I listen to a dozen preachers that I call and 10 say this and one says this, I'm going to go with the 10. Now, with that said, why do we need counsel? Why is it that we need counsel? Go back to chapter 19. Verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. The reason we need counsel is so we can be wise in the latter end. By nature, myself included, none of us are wise by nature. But according to Proverbs 22:15, the Bible says something is bound in the heart of a child. What is that? Foolishness. So by nature, I'm not wise. By nature, I have this foolish tendency. It's through godly counsel, go back to chapter 6, it's through godly counsel and instruction that we can become wise. So in chapter 6 and verse 23, it says this, the end of the verse particularly, and the law is light, and reproof and instruction are the way of life. Through godly counsel and instruction, we become wiser. Not only we are not naturally wise, but wisdom does not come all at once. It says the latter end. As we grow in the Lord, we gain more wisdom. We know how to handle life situations. We learn how to handle life things. Something else that could happen to you, and I hope you allow the Lord to use it in your life, is this. Sometimes when you experience things, hindsight being 20/20, and you come out the other end, and you can look back. Sometimes you really should allow the Lord to let you use that in other people's lives. Because you can be, through your own experience, a tremendous blessing to them. As we walk in wisdom, we grow in wisdom. And it's simply really a matter of listening to the scriptures and making wise decisions. And then it's a progress step by step as we grow in the Lord. So we need wisdom to be wise in the latter end. You don't get it all at once. And then secondly, we need counsel to be safe. Chapter 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. 24:6 is almost the same thing. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In spiritual battles, we have enemies. Mostly the world, the flesh, and the devil. But godly counsel helps us to wage a successful warfare and make wise decisions that will keep us in the path of truth and by which we can avoid sin. So we need counsel. We all need counsel from time to time. Everybody needs a little bit of advice on a situation or a circumstance. What do I do? Now, here's the next question. What type of counsel do I need? And turn to chapter 20 and verse 18. This is kind of and then we're going to go to Psalm 1. But let me read this verse. 20:18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Now go back to Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We need the right kind of counsel. Wrong counsel can be as dangerous as no counsel. So obviously, Psalm 1, the right counsel is found in God's word. So, here's a challenge. The better we know the Bible, the better we can know how to make wise decisions. By knowing the word of God ourselves, reading it, meditating on it, studying it, listening to preaching, whatever, attending Bible college. I know some people attend Bible college. However we get good Bible knowledge, we can also test all counsel to know whether it is right or wrong from the word of God. Getting wise counsel comes from a knowledge of the Bible. It's found in the Bible. That's where you get it, number one. Secondly, go back to Proverbs chapter 13. That's Psalms. In verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Right counsel comes from wise people. You have to go to the right people. Some of it's they've experienced what you're going through. I mentioned that earlier. When Denise was dying, I always went to Gary Ertz and Kathy Miller for advice because they both lost a spouse just like I did. Now, other people in our congregation have lost spouses, but not like I did. It would be different. Now, there's a situation, that's the only reason I bring this up. There's two people that lost spouses, but they're not the same. One could be shock. One could be anticipatory. And the whole process is dealt differently in both cases. Pastor Craig woke up one morning, went in to get his wife up for breakfast, and she was gone. In the middle of the night somewhere, she had a heart attack and went home to be with the Lord. Pastor down here in Whitesboro. Can't think of his name. Anyway, Hartsill Baptist Church, whatever. Dave McCoy. Pastor McCoy, his wife went into the hospital for a simple procedure. She was going to come home in a day or two. She never came home. She went septic and died in the hospital. Shock. Totally shock. My situation, we knew a year, at least a year in advance, that Denise was not going to make it. So you have a year to prepare. They had no time to prepare. My only point is they're different. Even in a situation where it's death and death, the whole scenario is different. And that's the way it is in life. So when you face something that might be like somebody else, allow the Lord to use you to minister to that person who goes through the thing just like you go through the thing. Brother Roscoe, Brother Hal Roscoe's wife just passed away. We've had a lot of pastors lose their wives in this state recent over the last few years for whatever reason. But when Brother Roscoe's wife passed away, it was a carbon copy of what Denise went through. I mean, exactly, textbook. I call Brother Roscoe every week or two. Tell him exactly what was going to happen And he called me his coach as I coached him through that. That's me. But you've experienced things that I haven't experienced. And God can use you to minister to somebody that I can't minister to, but you can. You've gone through, a lot of you have gone through things I haven't gone through. And truthfully, some of the things that you've had to deal with in your life, I'm glad I haven't had to deal with it. Some of the things I've had to deal with in my life, be glad you haven't had to deal with them. But allow the Lord to use you, because you, through that experience, I would like to think you gained a little bit of wisdom. Let me say this. Do not go to foolish people, because you'll get foolish counsel. If you go to immature and inexperienced people, you're going to get immature and foolish answers. And let me add this. Don't go. This is primarily Psalm 1, and you can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Do not go to the world for advice. If you go to your, I really don't have any worldly friends. I have two guys I consider friends or acquaintances, I would be more like it, that are not saved. But all my closest friends are born-again believers in Christ. They just are, as I think it should be. I would never go to one of my two lost friends for advice. I just wouldn't do it. Unless it was a worldly thing and they had experienced that and this is how they coped with it. Otherwise, I would never go to them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 8, Rehoboam had gone and gotten some advice. But in verse 8, it said this, he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and he took counsel which the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. He forsook the counsel of the old experienced and went with the young and inexperienced. And if you want to study 2 Chronicles chapter 10, you're going to find out it didn't turn out real well for him. Now, let me say the pastors I care, I call. Brother Smith is at Bennett Buckley Road, I think, 30 years. Brother Overton has been around. Well, he's a retired pastor now, but I think he pastored in Baldwinsville for 35 years. Brother Stiles pastored several years out in West Seneca, and he went through a horrific situation, but the Lord's been able to use him and with some other pastors to help them. I call him. Brother Jenkins has been up north a long time. Brother Fielder has been in the ministry forever, it seems like. I don't call a guy that's been in the ministry for 6 months, as a rule. I call somebody with some experience under their belt. Now, let me add this, and I've already said it a couple of times. Please allow the Lord to use some of the things that you have experienced to help others. Pastor, some of the things that I've experienced, I really don't ever want to share with anybody else. If they've experienced the same thing you have, they don't want to share it with anybody else either. You can minister to them, and it can be between you and them, and leave it there. That's all. Just don't tell anybody. It's hell out of the world. But and then I'll close with this. Don't be afraid to seek advice. I seek advice. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Just make sure you seek it from godly people and not worldly people. Father, as we seek to gain wisdom and gain instruction, I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with knowledge of your word. And even on that, sometimes good men and women disagree. Nonetheless, as we seek advice from godly people, help us to seek it from men that we know stand on truth, have given themselves to study in the scriptures, or women, and help us to live by those standards. And Lord, help us to be teachable, help our minds to be open, and help us always to be ready to listen. And then, Lord, I do pray that our church would be people who would not be afraid to open their heart up to somebody who's going through an experience in life that they might be able to help others with. Things that I can't minister to them in, but they can. As a church, as a family, people face, there's nothing new under the sun. Everybody faces all the same things. There's no problem that we have that's common strictly to us. Help us to open up our lives and open up our hearts and to help people with their problems. Give them godly advice, as we know it according to the scriptures, and sometimes we've looked back and have that hindsight. I pray you allow us to be used of you. In Jesus' name, amen.